still believe what makes a man really has a chance. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. You've got to stand for something, or you'll fall for anything.
Well, welcome back to the second hour of We the People Radio, and I thought that was the perfect song for our guest this hour. We're switching it up. So we went from the ambassador to the Vatican. Now we're going to talk about environmental policy. We kind of did last hour a little bit. I didn't realize we were going to do that, but I think, just spoiler alert, I picked out my favorite songs that I chose with our guest, Debbie Bacigalupi, so you're going to like them. All right, so, Bill, what's our sponsor of the hour?
Well, our number one sponsor right now is Pape Machinery.
Love those guys.
Yeah, they do a great job up there. They're on Twin View Boulevard, 3119 Twin View Boulevard. They're our local John Deere ag and turf dealer, and they'll take care of pretty much anything tractor-wise you have. They do part sales and service up there for John Deere. Got a great inventory right now. Go up and see them. Or give them a call, 226-9226, or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
And don't forget the 530 on your 226-9226, because that's just a big pain in the rear that we all have now. We have to do the 530, or you get Ecuador or New Guinea or something. I had to call somebody the other day, and all of a sudden it popped up, and I thought, oh, man, calling another country again. Forgot my 530. Oh, my goodness. So we've done some shows with Debbie in the past, and I tell you what, it never ends. She'll never be bored. So let's see. I've got some bio information. If I could read it, I made it really small. Not helpful. She was born in Reading. Mm-hmm. So she's a. I mean, neither of us were born in Reading. So Debbie, you should be down here doing this. She's a sixth generation California. Her family is fifth generation cattle ranchers and farmers in Siskiyou County. And because of the attack on rural America and the effect on her family, she decided to jump into the 2012 congressional race against Jackie Speer down there in the 14th district. Jackie is a career politician in an 80% Democrat registered Bay Area. You know how that race turned out. She's worked as a corporate event planner for Google and YouTube. Currently, she's a biotech consultant and a speaker. And as a speaker for private property rights, and now a key player in the anti-agenda task force group, Agenda 21 task force group. She does a lot of things on Agenda 21. And I remember back when we all first met each other, nobody even knew what that was. And now it's Agenda 2030, so you better get with the program if Agenda 21 doesn't mean anything to you. Yeah. Now they've changed the name, so you'll have to do a little quick study. You can find actually a lot of information on our website.
Is that because Agenda 21 didn't pan out, or?
Oh, no, I'm sure that's not it.
No.
No, they just wanted a snazzier name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, 30 is much snazzier.
Yeah, yeah, 2030. Well, yeah. It's kind of like Al Gore's book, you know, the inconvenient mistakes, like all his inconvenient dates were pretty inconvenient because they didn't work out.
None of them came true.
Nothing actually happened.
Yeah.
Now the world's ending. Oh, whoops. Nope, got that wrong again.
Well, we've only got what? 8 years left on our 12-year plan of
Ocasio-Cortez.
Yeah.
When we end the world.
Yeah.
Guess I'll, you know, stop watching what I eat and everything. Yeah. So we've been doing shows with Debbie since 2012. Why Environmental Regulations Consume California was our first show we did with her, and it's never changed. So, Debbie, you just got back from Egypt to go to a climate conference. God bless you. Somebody's got to go. You're out there rubbing shoulders with the Al Gore and the rest of the numbskulls. So, I mean, to ask how was it seems like a bad question, but how was it?
Oh, my gosh. It's always the belly of the beast, I'm telling you. I did not run into Al Gore this time. Normally I do, and I'm pretty sure the guy knows who I am because he'll be happily shaking hands as he walks through, you know, the the sea parts and the people part, and he's got this beautiful aisleway that's created for him wherever he goes at these conferences. And then he gets to me, and I'm not kidding, I've got this on camera several times. It's like, wah, 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 and oh, there she is again. So I've run into him. I've asked him tough questions in Sundance at the Sundance Film Festival. I asked him about the 10-year tipping point, and his answer to me was, meanwhile, I'm not kidding, it is blizzarding snow. We call it the Al Gore effect. So usually when he shows up to these conferences, no joke, somehow the weather shifts. And I'm not kidding. It's like clockwork. And so I asked him about the 10-year tipping point because he has been forewarning about the 10-year tipping point for decades now. So that's 10 years, over 10 years, over 10 years, decades now. He's been warning about the 10-year tipping point, which means it's kind of like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or I call her Alexandria Communist-Cortez, keeps saying, you know, we only have 10 more years left till the year 2030. You know, she was saying that along with a whole bunch of other people. This is like the 10-year tipping point. If you don't act now, and if you do not have the political will, life, not my quote, theirs, life will be uninhabitable and unrecognizable unless we start living a sustainable development lifestyle, we stop being racist, we repair the harms that we've done in the past. And if we do all those things and we act more gently on planet Earth, then climate change will be solved. I mean, it won't be totally solved, but at least we'll be able to turn the global thermostat down enough that we don't have to worry about catastrophic wildfires and catastrophic floods and all the things that are happening now that are catastrophic, that are supposedly because you and I do not live a sustainable lifestyle. We live, we eat meat, we drink alcohol, we live on private property.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. Do you know, Debbie, do we still have a polar ice cap? Because that was supposed to be...
Oh, yeah, that was gone, too.
Yeah, that was supposed to be gone, like, 10 years ago.
You know, the polar bears are coming back.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
So, as far as them being a role model for anthropogenic global warming, you're starting to see the polar bears come back in the propaganda. So, you know, and here's, okay, so you said something about the Agenda 21. Agenda 21 never went away. It's a 100-year plan for the 21st century, a.k.a. United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. That is the official name that was promulgated out of a United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change back in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, where our former governor, Jerry Brown, at the time was running for president. He was at this Rio Earth Summit. Nancy Pelosi was at this Rio Earth Summit. Al Gore was at the first Rio Earth Summit. George Herbert Walker Bush was there. In fact, he gave millions and millions, I think it was $50 million, which was a lot back then in 1992, of United States taxpayer dollars over to the United Nations for the United Nations Biological Diversity Conference and the Framework Convention on Climate Change. So we have been, the United States has been a part of this process since way before 1992. But dedicated meaning every year we're dedicating more and more money, taxpayer dollars, towards this effort to blame human beings, especially colonialism, on the despairs of planet Earth. So Agenda 21 is the agenda for the 21st century. I like to say it's an agenda to one world government system, like Agenda 21 world government system. And the 2030 agenda is only the first 30 years of that 100-year plan. Because if you look into your local area, you probably have plans like the 2040 plan or the 2050 plan or Tri-County's 2050 or whatever. So that proves that that the 2030 plan is not replaced Agenda 21. It's just the first 30 years, super aggressive 30 years of the 100-year plan. The 30 years, the 2030 agenda, has 17 sustainable development goals, all created by the United Nations and partnering countries, including the United States. And within those 17 sustainable development goals under the 2030 agenda are 169 targets. What do those things include? Like no hunger, no poverty, consumerism, sustainable development consumerism. Climate change is number 13 of those 17 sustainable development goals. And number 6, which is an uber important one, sustainable development goal number 6, is all about water and ecosystems. Right now, the United Nations is hosting what is called COP15 of the Biological Diversity Conference, and it is in Montreal. I went to COP27 of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. I know all this, like, jargon. And there are two different conference of parties, meaning the Biological Diversity Conference, which is super important to America and super important to California, because what it says is that we are losing, based on climate change and anthropogenic global warming and human being impact, we are losing massive biodiversity, massive wildlife loss. We're talking, they're saying, extinction. So right now, Wade Crowfoot, if you're from California and you're listening to this, Wade Crowfoot is right now in Montreal. He is, I think, the director or the secretariat or whatever, appointed by Gavin Newsom. He's been with Gavin Newsom for decades now at various capacities. But he is, and so has his wife, who's an attorney. He is right now in Montreal at this United Nations Biological Diversity Convention on Biological Diversity Conference, as well as Dr. Jen Norris, who's also with California Resources Department. And so what are they doing? They are doing treaties with one another. They are making deals with one another. And they're also there to say how California is leading the way on biodiversity. And if you think about it, sorry, I'm on this, like, long soliloquy, you guys.
That's okay. You have 2 minutes till the commercial. Keep going.
Okay. So if you think about it, what Gavin Newsom, his executive order, if you've heard about this, if you haven't, you should. If you have, you know what it is, or you should be concerned, is the 30 by 30 rule, that by the year 2030, 30% of California's land will be protected through various mechanisms. And so think about this. And then Biden did the same thing months later on a national level. And if you look up the 30 by 30 program and COP15 in Montreal right now, you see that this is an international agenda to globally protect 30% more land by the year 2030. So you have this massive, massive movement. Let's just narrow down to California. The government in California only has so much land. So they've already got it protected. So if they're going to get 30% more land in California to protect, to stop climate change, whose land do you think they're going after? What land are they going after? Because the government already owns what the government owns. So this is a total land grab of sorts. They may not take your property, but that what they're going to do is use codes and regulations and conservation easements to protect what they call the hottest biodiversity spots in California, which California is considered the 7th most biodiverse place in the entire world. So California, in many ways, not just with the Klamath River Dam destruction project, but also with cap and trade, and now with the 30 by 30 plan, and also biodiversity conservation and conservation easement, is leading the way in so many facets. That's why California and China are often referred to as the pilot for these United Nations conferences, whether it's the Biodiversity Conference or Climate Change conferences. So California, we're it. And you know, I always think that, you know, if the devil's going to go to work on God's greatest creation, he certainly is doing it on California. So we need to buckle up and get our boots on the ground and really start working together to either expose, you know, Aaron and Bill, expose what they're up to in hopes that more people, you know, are educated and making better decisions for themselves based on the truth that we're trying to expose, or they get really active and run for office and do things like that to start locally turning the tide on this massive, massive.
Well, yeah, because all the people who think, well, this probably isn't going to affect me, you're going to pay for it. Bottom line, mm-hmm. you're going to pay for it. And so it is going to affect you. There's no way out. So we've got to take a quick break. We have to inject some levity. And so we're going to let Ray Stevens do that for us.
Embarking upon a new career, capitalizing on this global warming hype. Yeah, they're the ones that brought you the left-handed hammer and tried to market a recycled pamper. You could say the Gullible brothers have always been the entrepreneurial type. But this next harebrained Gullible venture could be earmarked as the major clincher as to whether or not they'll be living it up in their retirement age. They put all they had into one bankroll, bought a bunch of land down at the South Pole, eagerly awaiting the impending doom of climate change, thereby being in the catbird seat in the new Florida. And I'm all for working hard to keep this planet clean, but man-made global warming just don't make no sense to me. But if you insist on buying into this media false alarm, I know a couple of guys who wheel and deal in frozen farms.
I look at you now, see a temperature rising. While mighty glaciers weep, I look at you now, see your oceans arising. While nations are lost in the deep,
here it comes.
I don't know why.
Job.
Nobody told you.
Cats in a bag.
They stole and fooled you.
I can't even sing that bad.
Remember, don't you remember you and I found that online? We were sitting in our kitchen before some show we did on this stuff, when mighty glaciers weep.
Wow.
Yeah, it's in my environmental playlist.
I'm crying right now.
I know. I was crying last night, and I still had more left. Yeah, you know, when you hear stuff like that, you're like, wow, really? And they've hoodwinked, like, the whole planet?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I can't sing. I can't sing.
Well, neither can he, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, is it a he? I don't even know.
Oh, well, that's a point to ponder.
Because, you know, in this world, anything goes.
That's true. What are his pronouns? He should go by a fake name, actually, because that's really quite horrible.
Yeah, agreed. So are the decisions. I'll just jump in.
Yeah.
So I did just get back from Egypt. And what happened in Egypt, and why should anyone care, especially in the United States? What happened at the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change in Sharm el-Sheikh, we're calling Sharm el-Shakedown, because that's pretty much what it is a shakedown of the American economic system, but is at this Conference of Parties number 15, or 27, I'm sorry, 15 is the Biological Diversity Conference, So at the number 27, which means there are 26 previous conferences prior to that, all leading up to, and this is no joke, it's no exaggeration, in any stretch of the mean, is that we are heading to a global governance system. I mean, they talk about globalization on the news all the time, so it should, at this point, be of no surprise to anyone. And so Biden was at this conference. Nancy Pelosi was at this conference in Sharm El Shakedown. John Kerry, Al Gore, and many, many others from the United States. And what they were doing is what they do every year at these conferences. These conferences are 33,000 people who are flying in, lots of private jets, lots of black cars, you know, fancy, shiny, clean black cars with flags of whatever countries, meaning it's somebody of high level coming in, and they're always escorted by many, many police cars and motorcycles with, you know, the horns going and the lights going, and then they arrive, and it's like the seas part again for them, and everybody, you know, the media is there to take pictures, and it really is this kind of Hollywood paparazzi kind of thing in the climate change world. And so you have 33,000 people every year showing up to these conferences to kind of, it's like a confab, and they're getting together to make deals, to talk about business decisions. If you're an exhibitor, so you have massive amounts of exhibitors at these conferences. If you've ever been to a trade show of any size, imagine a trade show for 33,000 people and all the equipment that has to be brought in this kind of empty warehouse. In fact, they had it to create in Sharm el-Sheikh, which is a resort town, a resort area in the desert on the Red Sea. It's got beautiful resorts. In fact, there's a Four Seasons that John Kerry stayed at, who is the climate change envoy under Barack Obama and now Joe Biden, meaning he's the guy who makes these climate change deals. You know, John Kerry is married to, I think he's still married to, Teresa Hines. Very, very wealthy family, right? He was staying at the Four Seasons Hotel that we heard from another hotel was charging him $7,500 a night. That's your taxpayer dollars, $7,500 times 14 nights at least. That's not including his staff, his security, his private planes, his helicopter ride, none of that. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars just spent on one human being, United States taxpayer dollars, to go into this conference to make a deal with the other conference goers. So there's 196 countries that are involved in these conferences to make deals with each other. And the deal that they made was called loss and damages. And you may hear of the term loss and damages in another term, Aaron and Bill, called reparations.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah. Big popular, big in popularity these days.
Yeah, so recently, Aaron, you were telling me not too long ago about, just to give an example of what reparations, there's a reparations going on in California. Can you tell us what that is, just to give people an idea of what reparations, what kind of reparations there can be?
I don't have the detail on it, but the gist of it is they've set up a reparations, like, panel or whatever, but it's billions of dollars that they're talking about giving to people who, I guess, they're brown and came from, I don't even know if they have to come from California, but they were talking like $233,000 per individual, which was going to exceed the budget of California. I mean,
yeah, and it's supposed to repair.
I'll look it up while we're talking.
Yeah, it's supposed to, these reparations, and that's a great example because it's coming straight from the taxpayer dollars in California, and they're thinking about it. They're coming up with a budget. They're coming up with ways that this is going to get paid out to calm the anxiety of the past, to repair the damage that was done in the past to people of color. according to certain people's, you know, account of history. So even if you were not a slave, but you are a color of slavery, which I guess is black, but I also know there were Chinese
slaves. Well, they've written a 500-page study. Here, I just popped this up so it'd be current. California's first in the nation task force to identify reparations said business loans, housing grants, tuition, wage and job protections could provide redress for African Americans. The 500-page study describes decades of state and federal government actions, blah, blah, blah. And it just, it's going to be massive. I mean, it's massive. Just do a little teeny search, and if you think it couldn't come to your state, you know, you're kind of like, those Californians, what a bunch of idiots. It's like, laugh now, but we love to export our bad policy.
And this is part and parcel with the climate change Agenda 21 reparations. So Agenda 21 is social equity, environmental justice, and economic justice. And the reparations on slavery here in California cover two of those, social equity and economic justice. Of the three that are under Agenda 21, which the third one, again, is environmental justice. So at this COP27 in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, what John Kerry and Joe Biden signed the American people, the American taxpayer, onto was something called loss and damages. In other words, anything related to climate change, whether it's social equity, environmental justice, and economic justice, that they can say, hey, because of colonialism, because of capitalism, because America, and they say this, the United States of America is the biggest polluter. Guys, that is a lie. But they're saying it. China is the biggest polluter, but China, in these agreements, is still considered a developing country, where the United States is considered a developed country. So why that is, I don't know, but I think it gives a pass to the Chinese Communist Party with this climate change propaganda. They get a pass on all the reparations. So what does the reparation look like under climate change, loss and damages? Imagine a third world nation, as an island nation, let's say, is flooded from, you know, some tropical storm that is caused by capitalism and anthropogenic global warming and pollution. We pay, you guys.
Yeah.
We pay. And so they're setting up these huge funds right now. And how they're going to fund these is still questionable. It's still, what John Kerry and Joe Biden and many, many, many others in Washington, D.C. and states like California are trying to set up through the stock market and this thing called, I'm kind of getting into the weeds, but just bear with me, with things like environmental social governance. You're hearing about ESG everywhere,
ESG,
all the time. All these things are leading to one thing, which is wealth redistribution. Just like, you know, Aaron, the one that you told me about here in California and the reparations for slavery, it's all about wealth redistribution.
Yep. Yep. How dare you have anything? And you know, just so we don't deprive anybody of the madness, you can. We put some links up for you at wethepeopleradio.us that I've been kind of bad about not saying during our show today, which is not good. But some links at the bottom of the page. Today is December 11th, 2022, in case we replay this. At the bottom of that page, you have morgancurtis.com. One quote I pulled off of that: I support people with inherited wealth to align their resources with their social justice values so that resources can flow to create the world we'd love to see.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then there's the resourcegeneration.org. It's a multiracial membership community of young people 18 to 35 with wealth and or class privilege committed to equitable distribution of wealth and power. And just in case you're not sure if you're one of those people, you can go take the class privilege quiz, which I frankly thought was tons of fun. Very much enjoyed it. And I mean, you have an advanced degree. Your parents had an advanced degree. Your net worth is over $50,000. You have very little debt. Oh, so you're a good money manager. Well, you go on the class privilege quiz here. You lose. You inherited money from relatives who passed away. You expect someday to inherit money from relatives that passed away. You're wonder one of the actual things you could check or not check is you're wondering whether you're wealthy or not. It's like, are you kidding?
You can't figure that out.
Your family owns land.
I guarantee you're not.
Exactly. Your family owns land. Yeah, I mean, all this stuff. So you click all this thing and you get to the bottom and it says you have class privilege, you know, you. And so you're supposed to figure out a way to give all your assets away so you can feel better about yourself.
Right. And what you're supposed to feel good. So what you're supposed to feel better about for yourself by giving away your wealth.
Yeah.
And what, you know, you earn.
Well, giving it to them so that, you know, you can feel better about yourself.
Right, and they go to social justice causes. They go to, you know, things that are supposed to repair. So here's what they say. And where Aaron got those websites is from a Harvard student who
I got them from you, who got them from Harvard student.
Right, a Harvard student at the United Nations in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt. And it was right after the big announcement. There was a press conference that I was a part of about the announcement of loss and damages. And Fridays for Future representatives, Fridays for Future, you can think Greta Thunberg, who started Fridays for Future. These young girls from Harvard were part of this press conference and other countries, too. It wasn't just Harvard, but... And they were upset with the United States for not coming up with numbers, confirmed numbers, and also upset with the United States for not taking a bigger role in the pollution that we are supposedly launching across the globe that's causing so much damage and racial inequity and all these things that they tie together that have nothing to do with one another. But somehow racism is now and has been actually a part of climate change. And so if we could solve the climate change crisis, we could solve the racism crisis too, is what they propose. And so these, when I asked these, I was interviewing these young women and saying, well, gosh, I certainly as an American off of, you know, the backs of colonialism and slavery, I feel awful about what I've done and the wealth I've accumulated. And they're like, well, it's okay. It's okay. There's a way. And of course, I'm being facetious there. I'm sitting, you know, I'm egging these people on to tell me more and more. And they direct me to these websites saying, here, American people, we want you to check this stuff out. And this one Harvard student was from Austin, Texas, wanted me to check out and these websites and then figure out how I can start giving back whatever I have, whether it's a vehicle, whether it's, you know, money, whether it's land, give back so that we could repair the damages done in the past as being the United States of America, where wealth was, according to them, created off the backs of slavery and indigenous people and the harms that were done, not as if any of that didn't happen anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, right.
And not as if any of that didn't happen within their own tribes, within their own communities.
Right.
Somehow, it's and I'm not kidding, it's up to white people and so-called colonials and supremacists to fix this problem by giving back their wealth so they can feel good about themselves. The
nice.
People that they're targeting are the millennials, the younger people. So what they're doing is...
Well, and they're the ones really a lot of times not having kids. And but, you know, it's funny. I think, frankly, they're too much about themselves to go live in poverty so they can feel good about the world. I think they'll just lean on the rest of us to do it. Well, they don't, because that's typically how that works, like Al Gore
and
the rest of them.
With any policy, there's always an exception. I mean, they should set up a website where you can apply for an exception to the rule. because I think there's lots of people out there that can say, hey, I never had a slave. My family never had slaves.
Well, look at all the people who were different nationalities. I mean, the Irish didn't have a very good go of it at the outset. We have to take a really quick break so that I can play two more of our favorite songs. So we've got Stop Global Whining, which is just lovely, and then we'll come back with Dire Straits, one of their top ones that I love so much. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
this hot in a long time. Not since the 16th century, when there were no evil SUVs. Stop global warming. It's up to you. The Earth's been heating up and cooling back down since the day it started spinning round and round. Stop global warming. Get your head out of the clouds.
Now don't talk to me about the polar bear. Don't talk to me about the ozone layer. Ain't so much of anything these days. Even the air, they're running out of rhinos. What do I care? Let's hear it for the dolphin. Let's hear it for the trees. Ain't running out of nothing. In my deep freeze. It's casual entertainment. We ain't.
Yeah, the secret's in the cheese.
The secret's in the cheese.
Yeah.
You ain't running out of nothing in my deep freeze. You're not running out of anything in yours, are you, Debbie? Do we lose her? Hello? Is she in the cone of silence?
Hi. No, I put myself on mute because I was laughing.
Because you're laughing's good. This is a serious topic. If you don't play silly music, then everybody's angry all the time. And, you know, it's Sunday afternoon, and it's getting close to Christmas. And, you know, how much anger can you possibly stomach?
Yes, and I eat, breathe, and live it. I think that's why I'm so exhausted these days. But for all you out there, you don't have to study this stuff. You don't have to go down the rabbit hole, because we're telling you. You know, kind of bottom line, where all of this is leading to, which is our jobs being shifted over to China and manufacturing. I know some is coming back, but still, manufacturing is going to China. China is not being blamed for the pollution, which they do cause. They don't have to pay reparations. And they, like California, are seen as the shining city, if you will, or a shining country on the hill when it comes to where we're heading in the 21st century. It's quite fascinating. It is absolutely fascinating that California and China are just uplifted and the models for the future. So that should tell you a lot, like perhaps maybe to research a little bit more about the ideology of our leaders. I don't think that's too far to guess. They lean definitely towards communism, socialism, and a one-world government system. And so it's like hang on for the ride, but at the same time, somehow you got to have fun and come together and unite. And I think that's where we will have fun, and fighting back and trying to turn things around is coming together. Before I forget, I just want to mention two things.
Yeah.
That were mentioned as well as California and China. And one repeatedly was the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act at the conference. And then the other one was the Inflation Reduction Act. So there's something in those acts, which I have not read, that is major funding for this loss and damages and the agenda of the overall COPs, the climate change conferences. So maybe that could be, you know, a listener's, I don't know, maybe they'd be interested in finding out more about that. But for some reason, those two acts were repeated constantly by American delegates who were at the conference.
Well, you know, when they shut down the XL pipeline, all those workers were supposed to be retrained and get jobs in the new green energy field. That never happened, and I don't think it's ever going to happen, but they still magically assign quite a lot of money to that. I just wonder, what do they spend that money on?
Yeah.
What, indeed?
I bet you there are a lot of jobs that are being created, high net worth income jobs in some of these sectors when it comes to renewable energy. And so, you know, patting your friend's back, who's going to get you these grants and bills and whatever through Congress and passed in the Senate. I don't know. Aaron knows how.
Well, the one, you know, the one that I think really, you know, sticks in people's mind that, you know, I don't think even think the left tried to fight back on it was Solyndra. Back under Obama, I think that was a real wake-up call for people who didn't even follow any of that. It was like, wait a second, we what? Give all this money to this you know, solar company, and it was just a big scam.
Yeah. And they closed their doors as soon as they got the money.
But see, at the end of the day, all of this, it's important, you know, whether people know the details or not, it's all about scarcity. So if you can make resources scarce, you can control people. Which is why we want to, I mean, and I'm using the term we very loosely, like it doesn't include any of us, but want to take out dams, why we want to stop oil production, why we want to do all those things. Because once that happens, you have scarce resource. And then, of course, you know, government needs to come in.
Yep, they need to come in and fix it.
Yep, meet it out. Yeah, well, decide how much you can have.
It's everything they warned us about, and now they
and
need
now it's
to
happening.
In. Yep, they got to come in and fix it.
So
yeah, you remember back in, well, it was this statement. You'll remember who said this. We're just 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Mm.
Remember who said that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Barack Obama.
Yeah, Barack Obama.
In 2014, he was asked by, I think, NBC News in an exclusive interview what his legacy would be. And he said a carbon tax. So think about it, a carbon. So they don't say carbon dioxide. They say carbon. And that could mean anything. Carbon is the key element of life. Your bones have carbon. But if they're specifically talking about carbon dioxide, why don't we hear them say a carbon dioxide tax? Which you can't see carbon dioxide. You can't see it. I mean, maybe there's something that you could, I don't know, there's probably some experiment where you could see it and add color. But largely, you cannot see carbon dioxide. We breathe in oxygen. We breathe out carbon dioxide. So they want to control carbon dioxide, but you cannot see it. And we cannot see the air. I mean, you can't.
Well, it's also stuff that, it's also the thing that makes plants grow. So
exactly.
If it's a big,
but
huge pollutant, you know.
You cannot control it because you cannot see it. But
right.
What's the next, and you cannot live without it. You cannot live without air. What's the next resource that you absolutely need that you cannot live without for a couple days? Is water.
Water,
and
yeah.
What's this big push right now?
Water.
You can see water, and you can control it, which is exactly to your point, Aaron, about destroying dams. It's all about scarcity and creating a control mechanism for a resource that absolutely everybody needs on planet Earth to survive. And so what's coming up next in March of 2023 is a very, very important United Nations conference, and it's in New York City. Major UN conference, the second major conference in the United States of America under the United Nations, and it is about water.
Mm.
And that'll be March. All these meetings, including COP 15, the Biological Diversity Conference that California is in numbers represented up in Montreal right now at this conference, as well as COP 27 and COP 28, are gearing up for, or are these conferences gear up for the next big sustainable development goal, which we were talking about in the beginning. There's 17 of them. And the one that they're targeting, which is the one that they think is the most important, is target number 6, which is all about water. Because no one can live without water. No one can live without air, but they can't see it enough to control it. But you can see and control water. You can even control the water that falls off your roof.
Well,
which
and,
they want to,
and beyond,
yeah.
even beyond the personal control, I mean, if you back way up from this stuff and you stop looking at how you think it'll affect, like, you and your community, when you back up on the water thing and you look at what's in store for that, that's how society develops. You can't put housing in an area where there is no water. So if they're cutting, you know, if they're controlling all these water sources, that's, again, because one of their goals is to force everyone into large cities. Right. Well, if you can't, I mean, when we were looking at a house, we knew that if we moved outside of the city limits, we would have, you know, sky-high utility bills, electric utility bills, and we would have problems with water.
Yep.
So,
well, and this whole salmon situation is not about, we know it's not about the salmon. It's about the resource the salmon needs that they want to control, which is the river. That's why they're planting these endangered, you know, trout or salmon in these riverbeds, like the one that, in these rivers, like the one that they want to do that runs through my ranch right now. It's because they want control of all the water. They don't want you touching it without their permission. And when you do touch it, you're going to have to pay for it, even though you've already paid for it.
Right.
And we know that that is, they're going to ratchet that up in the next year. And then after, you know, this big global water conference to say how scarce water is on planet Earth, even though we are a mostly closed system and water hardly leaves planet Earth and exchanges with,
yeah.
I can't remember what planet, but it's not going anywhere, people. We're not running out of water.
No, and if we didn't flush 50% of California's water out to the ocean for the fish, they call it environmental purposes, a.k.a. fish. If they didn't flush 50% of it to the ocean for the fish, imagine how much different our, you know, quote, drought profile, unquote, would look in the summer.
Yeah.
So these are decisions. These are policy. It's just like forestry. It's no different than the fire thing. It's a man-caused disaster made by bad policy.
Right.
It isn't some random, you know, oh, my gosh, you know, the world's out of control. We don't know how to fix it. Yeah, we know how to fix it. We're just not doing it. We're actually doing everything that makes it worse.
Well, I know that we're coming down to the end here, and I know that, you know,
which
I'm
is wrong.
Debbie Downer. I'm just always Debbie Downer. I'm bringing, you know, the truth of the, you know,
it's okay.
The bad
Kenny,
news,
Kenny Chesney's going to give us an upper at the end. He's got 51 seconds of happy music at the end. We'll be okay.
Well, I did want to mention that I hope your next week's guest, Nathan Deshamaker, I believe is how he pronounces his long last name. Whenever you have, for your listeners, whenever Aaron and Bill have this Nathan Deshamaker on their show, which hopefully is next weekend. He is phenomenal, and where I'm spreading the word, alerting people as to what's going on in, you know, the doom and gloom, we've got people like Nathan who are actually doing something to turn things around, and so super exciting to introduce you and your guests to this phenomenal young guy. And hopefully we can get them on next weekend. So
there's so much to know, and nobody's ever going to remember all of it except maybe you because you go to all those conferences. But it's important to hear from people who have been to those things. Super important. So
I wish that we had more people going to these conferences. And, you know, one thing that we did not get into, and maybe we could do it another time, is what religious leaders did on Mount Sinai while we were there.
Let's talk about that next time because we're into the final 20 seconds. Debbie Bacigalupi, we love you. You're our BFF all the time.
Always enjoy
you. Love you, guys.
And we always enjoy it, and we're happy that you go to the conferences. Well, we're not happy because it makes you all mad and everything, but we're happy you go because then you can come back and tell us and we don't have to go. So you can find all of this and send it to your friends. We are at wethepeopleradio.us.
Cause there ain't no other place than on the sea I'd rather be. And that second coming's coming, it's right around the bend. And someday could be any day, this world is gonna end. But that's alright, that's okay. There ain't nothing we can do about the whole thing anyway. It's a hang on counter ride. We're spinning through space and time, rocking this big old rock, just trying to have some fun. So let's drink another beer. Here's to another year. Let's take another crazy trip around the sun.